Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. And when you find that, or your iPad or your iPhone or whatever it is that you look up the passage with, would you find that? Would you stand with me this morning? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. When you find that, would you stand with us out of reverence for God's Word this morning? But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let us pray. Father, we thank You as we open Your Word this morning. It is a word of encouragement for those who become discouraged. All of us at some point in our lives become overcome with grief, with loss, with missing someone that we love. And we know this life can be extremely difficult, but we find comfort in You and comfort in Your Word. And we thank You for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, you may be seated. This morning, I want to talk about when we grieve. Now, you may not be in a season of grief today. Things may be going really well for you. But I would remind you that at some point, you will grieve if you have not already. Amen. The events of this past week in Texas remind us of the fallenness of man, his capacity for evil. And through these actions, they lead us all into a period of grieving. I woke up Monday morning and even Sunday afternoon after I'd heard the word grieving for the families in Texas that have been so affected by the events of last Sunday. Grief is normal. Whenever we experience loss, we grieve. It grieved God that He had made man. Grief is a part of the human experience. God has created us in a way that we feel and we think, and that we hurt, and that we mourn, and that we suffer loss. You look no farther than Lazarus, who had died, and people were mourning his death. It might be interesting for you to know this, if you don't already know it, but in the time of Jesus, they had so-called professional mourners, that if your family wasn't large enough or able to gather in a place, that people you could hire to grieve. But Mary and Martha and others were grieving because Lazarus was dead. And the shortest verse in the Bible, which no theologian has ever been able to explain, Jesus wept. It reminds us that there is Christian grief and there is unchristian grief. It is important to remember, as I share these things with you, that maybe you write these down or at least put them in the tablet of your heart so that when you can grieve in a Christian way and not grieve in an unsaved way. Oh, let me tell you, I know the difference. I've seen it firsthand. I know what it looks like when people who are unsaved, or when they don't know where their loved one is going, when they lose them, how they grieve. And then those who have a quiet confidence in Jesus Christ about their salvation and the salvation of the one who has just passed. But it can be helpful to remember these things. One important reminder was shared with me this week. It's to remember that however you feel, you won't always feel this way. people who are contemplating suicide. And probably every one of us at one time in our life will consider the possibility. People who are contemplating suicide, if they can only remember that how I feel is not always the way, or is not the way I will always feel, sometimes can be helpful. You mourn, and you and I mourn for a variety of reasons, not just death. Any such loss as the loss of a job or health or changing schools, a friend who no longer is your friend, financial catastrophe, a country going its way away from God, a church closing, a child graduating and leaving home. Grief is personal and it is normal, as long as it does not cause us to lose our way for an extended period of time or to act up in destructive ways. It is absolutely normal to grieve. No one should ever feel guilty about grieving. But there are constructive ways to grieve and destructive ways to grieve as well. Which is another way of saying there are Christian ways to grieve and unchristian ways to not grieve. I've known some who were somewhat embarrassed to tell me at a funeral of the loss of a spouse to say at that moment, I feel no grief. And that may be surprising to you to even hear. To feel guilt that they felt no grief at that particular moment. But I understand that because I understand grieving. Only later that person discovered how grief hit them suddenly. And sometimes grief can hit us kind of like a wave coming onto the shore and then leave just as quickly as it came. It can surprise us that we can still be years later grieving about an event or something that has happened in our lives. Perhaps the person that I just described was just numb at the time of the loss of that loved one. Now, before I give you some things that I think can be helpful about grief, let me first of all talk about the context of the passage of Scripture that I just read. Paul was obviously dealing with death. In fact, he refers to death in a euphemistic way, which is the word asleep or to sleep. Now, never mind that there came a whole doctrine out of that called soul sleep, but nonetheless, he's not referring to someone being asleep, but he's referring to someone who has died. And there were a couple of things occurring during his time. One was, as there was a rumor, have you ever heard of rumors? You're a Baptist. There was a rumor going around that Christ had already returned and taken the church away, and that those who were there left behind had to deal with this very issue that they had been left. And so therefore, he begins to talk about this as being a very dramatic event that is to come and is not a secret event, that is the Lord's coming. He describes it as everyone shall see it, for Christ will return. He will bring with Him those who have died or fallen asleep, and He will also return with His angels visibly, for every eye shall see Him. But there's another issue that's being dealt with here as well. And that is, what do we make of those who were around when Jesus was walking the earth, and now He's ascended into heaven, and they're still here, and they are about to die, or some of them have died. They believed that Jesus would come shortly. There's no question in my mind that they believed that. In fact, Paul says in the latter part of that, this passage, then we which remain. You see that? He's not talking about you and me. He's talking about them. Then we which remain. So he looked for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parenthetically, Jesus is not late, by the way. So even though he did not come at that time, he's still coming, and he's not late. He's just waiting for you to be saved. If you're unsaved today, the Bible says he is patiently waiting for you to be saved. And then after everybody who's going to be saved is saved, he will come. That's the scripture. So if you're unsaved today, hurry to Jesus. So let me give you some common emotions associated with grieving. And some experts have referred to this as stages. But let me give you some of those this morning. Especially whenever you lose someone that you love, no matter what the circumstances. And frankly, the circumstances do matter as far as how we grieve. But let's just talk about those emotions that are associated with grieving. First of all, and by the way, when I list these, I'm not suggesting that there is necessarily an order to them, nor am I suggesting that there's a process of like 1 through 5, and you have 1, then you go 2, and then 3, and no, we're not quite that neat. That's not the way we work, because you can go from 1 to 3, back to 2, and then return to 1 again in a very brief period of time. So you have to know that before I give you some of these. But let me give you some of these that I personally have experienced and people that I read, that I respect, have referred to as well. This is the first one I want to share with you. Numbness or shock. Just absolutely losing any sense of where you are and what is happening around you. And that stage can occur and reoccur, and it is something that is extremely real. I can remember when my dad was stricken with cancer back in 1980 that I worked for a bakery, and we had specific places that we were supposed to ship bread. And therefore, you were supposed to put the bread that was going to Wichita on the truck that was going to Wichita. You were supposed to put the bread that was going to Topeka on the truck that was going to Topeka. And by the way, there was bread coming from where I worked in Missouri to Jackson, Tennessee as well. And you were supposed to send the bread to Jackson on Jackson's truck. Well, I shipped bread to Topeka to Jackson. I shipped bread from Wichita to Olathe. And who knows where the rest of the bread went. Until finally somebody would come up beside me and put their arm around me and said, "This is not working out." And that was simply because as a 21-year-old boy, which I know is supposed to be a man, I was experiencing something I had never experienced before, and that was my own dad's mortality. And I was in shock, or I was numb to what was going on around me. I was really unable to function. Can I get a witness? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're ministering to somebody who is there, don't give them grief about it. In other words, understand that that's where they are. They won't be there forever, but that's where they are right now. Now, let me give you another one. Denial or disbelief, which could be a part of numbness, but denial or disbelief, this did not happen. How many times after suffering loss have you woke up the next morning hoping and praying to God that this did not happen? I've asked more than one person, "Did you go looking for your wife or your husband today?" And what I meant by that was just what it sounds like. That because they had spent all of those years together, they could still hear them in the other room fidgeting around. And so, therefore, they are experiencing a stage or an emotion or disbelief. And how many of us have gone to the funeral home? How many of us have gone to the funeral home thinking that I will not believe it until I see the person that I've heard the news about in that box? I won't even believe it. I cannot believe it. So that's one of the emotions that is associated with grieving, denial or disbelief. It can occur over and over again. Now, let me give you another one, and I've experienced this one. These are all emotions that I've experienced, and this one, this can make you feel better just to be honest about it. And so let's say this one together out loud, and we'll feel better about it. Let's say it, anger. I've ministered to wives, widows, widowers, who have said, they've left me and left all this for me to do. Now I've got to do all of it. And they didn't say it at that moment brokenheartedly. They said it with the emotion of anger. Especially if it relates to suicide. I can tell you that I have been at Lawrence Sorensen and some of the other funeral homes, Smith South, Smith North, even Shackelford, who evidently owns the funeral home industry in McNary County, Arrington, Atlanta, Georgia. And I have, when I got up to do the family eulogy and the sermon, I got up mad as I could be. Mad. I'd think, how in the world could that person do this to the family? Mad. I had to compose myself because I was so angry. What a selfish thing to do. And believe me, anger is a part of grieving. And preachers who do funerals who have a heart, and I hope I do because I think I do, can be just as angry at a funeral home as they are anywhere. How in the world could a person with such great promise and opportunity and privilege, you know, at 58, I'd give anything to be 20 again. I tell you, teenagers especially, remember this, it won't always be like it is, no matter how good or how bad it may be for you at this moment. Understand that God loves you and you have a purpose in your life. And you'll never reach it if you take the easy way out and check out. That's not what this is about today exactly, but I just wanted you to see the emotion in which I express because I do feel anger sometimes. I never am angry toward God. And that may surprise you. I don't know that it's right or wrong to be angry toward God. I think it would be long term, but I'm never angry toward God. I've always taken full responsibility for my situation and understand that other people should as well. Now let me give you another stage, blame. The blame stage that goes along with anger. It is blaming the other person. If they just hadn't smoked, they would have lived longer. If they just hadn't drank, they would have lived longer. Blame. Now let me give you another one. There's another emotion that goes with this, and that's the bargaining emotion. Now that's not necessarily after the person's died, obviously, but it's when you find out, when you hear news and you begin to grieve about a loved one who's sick, somebody you care about that's sick, you might go to God and say, God, if you'll just heal them and make them better, then I'll give 90% of everything I ever make. I'm just trying to be a little bit humorous there because we've been so serious this morning, rightfully so. But, you know, bargaining. When we grieve, we bargain. And another thing in that blaming, I want to go back to that just a moment because I left it out, I think. I don't know if I said it exactly, but some people blame themselves for the decisions that other people have made. I don't know if I said that. I should say it. But you heard earlier I said I always take responsibility for myself. You know, I had to tell Jeremy a few minutes ago I broke this microphone after somebody else broke the other microphone, after I broke two or three things this week. I have had a week where everything I touch breaks. You better pray after shaking my hand. You might be in danger. But some people, Some people blame themselves, especially for suicide. If I had just been there, if I had just shown them more love, if I'd been a better dad or a better mother, or if I had just been a better person, or if I had done this or I had done that. Let me just say this about that without going too much farther into that. The person who takes their life bears full responsibility for that decision. And that has to be understood. Because if it's not, you will assess grief in a place that you will never find any healing. You will blame yourself, and to that there is no remedy. Now, there is a final feeling and a final place, a good place. Would y'all believe if I told you this is the introduction? I guess it's probably 2 weeks of sermon here. I've overdone it. This is good grief. I've way overdone it today. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll dismiss y'all and finish on podcast. There is a final place, and there's some other things you could say in that, but there's a final emotion called acceptance and healing. Let me just say to you that acceptance and healing doesn't mean you won't find anger show up again. It doesn't mean that you won't find numbness even show up again. And it doesn't mean these other things can't occur. But it does mean at some point in your life, God can heal your heart where the healing outweighs the suffering and the pain, where you can have good memories, good things to think about, rather than just the pain of the loss. Now, again, it's not just death, but David himself knew what it was like to grieve. You remember at the time that kings go out to war? You remember David was a warrior king, but David didn't go. I assume David could have went, he should have went, but he did not. And he stayed home at the palace, and he was walking on the balcony, and across the way was Bathsheba, you remember? And he sent for her, and they had relations, which is a nice way to say some other things. And out of that came a baby. And God brought judgment upon David and his house and that baby for his sin. And you remember, his child died. David fasted and he prayed, but his child died. And you remember what he said, "I can go to him, but he cannot come to me." And here's the mightiest man who, perhaps outside of the Lord Jesus, the God-man who ever lived, David, king of Israel, who grieved. So let me give you some things here quickly if I can now, because I'm past the introduction. I'm ready to get down to business. Let me give you some quick things. These are things that I've seen when I've seen people grieve. I'm going to give you some destructive things and some productive things. Okay? The first one is, I've seen grief drive people away from God. Now, I always ask myself the question, is that true or not? And the reason I do that is because I think, well, you know, height nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our position. And I think, is it true that an unsaved person, a saved person, becomes distant from God through grief, or is it just that we thought that person was saved and they weren't? I'm going to suggest there are saved people when they grieve by distancing themselves from God and from God's people and God's church. Okay? That's where I'm going to settle. That's what I think. I think I've seen people who grieve for one reason or another. It can be so minor. We grieve for so many things. You know, I could laugh a little bit and say, a couple of times I looked in the mirror and thought, wouldn't it be nice to have hair again? I don't think I went through numbness, but I did go through anger. Right? And then I realized you don't have to comb your hair. It's all good. You get free haircuts. It's wonderful. But that's just kind of a a less serious thing. But we grieve about it, lots of things. Losing our job. Losing a friend. Having a friend betray us. We can grieve about them moving us from one place to another. We grieve. I still grieve. I still dream a lot about the church I grew up in that closed its doors. I grieved over that. Someday I'll grieve missing you and missing being here. Oh, it's precious. Someday, if I live that long, I'll be laying somewhere maybe, and I'll think, oh, guess who sat over there and there, and it'll be in my mind. Of course, I won't know what I just ate. I won't know where I'm at, but I'll remember this church. But grieving must not drive us away from God. Oh, so many people, they just as I, you know this, is, can you help me here? Are products of what? Stinking thinking. Stinking, or if you prefer Southern expression, stankin' thinking. This is a Northern sermon, stinking thinking. Southern, stankin' thinking. Well, what is stankin' thinking? It's, I'm going to get my act together and get back with God. Stupid. What do you think God's for? What is our relationship with God all about anyway? It's a God who is with us. It's a God who never orphans or abandons us. It's a God who walks through the valleys with us. It is not a God when things are going well. When I say my God, I mean my God. When I say our God, I say our God, because He is our God. And when David went out and battled the Philistine giant, that was God with him. When he was up on the balcony doing the wrong thing, guess what? God was still with him. And when his child died, guess what? God was there. Stinking thinking believes that you're going to walk away from God, get your grief together, and get back with Him. That is exactly what it is. The incarnation is God knows. The Bible says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. This is not a fair weather Christianity. I hope the folks are meeting in Texas today, those that are left. There's not many left. But maybe that building swelled today. I have no idea. I got my own business today. Maybe I'll read a story about there were 200 people there if they could fit them in. Because they said, our God is with us no matter what. He's not a fair weather God. They don't understand our God. They're all confused. You people pray and yet bad things happen to you. Yeah, that's right. But we've got something that you don't know nothing about. And that's, we've got a personal Savior, the Lord Jesus, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That may be out of order because I didn't write it down. I don't know what happened there. Unchristian is to grieve and let your grief drive you away from God. It ought to drive you to Him. Oh, man. It'll cause you to grab hold of Him. I can't let go. He's all I got. It'd be like a man who's about to drown and somebody throws him a lifeline and he just lets go and says, I'll get that to that later. He needs that lifeline to live. We need Jesus. Secondly, let our grief not be a hopeless grief. Notice what Paul said here, didn't he? He said, when you grieve, which means you will grieve, do not grieve as those who have no hope. As those who have no hope. Have you ever seen anybody who has no hope? Oh, I have. I have. I've told the story about being at the hospital one day and they were calling over the intercom, Jackson General, is there a preacher in the building? Oh, I sure wish there was. No. That's got to be me. So I went, and the switchboard lady told me, well, I can't remember who it was. She told me, in room so-and-so, a lady's just lost her husband, and she's in the bed with him. And we need your help. They couldn't get them separated. Now, she had a hopeless grief. Please don't misunderstand me now, because you've already listened to me enough, you know better. I'm not suggesting because she was in the bed with him that meant she had a hopeless grief, but she did. She was screaming because she had no assurance of anything beyond this life, and she believed this was it. That's what she told me. And she would never see him again. He was gone to nobody knew where, including God, because God didn't exist in her mind. She had a hopeless grief. There's a difference between a grief grounded in hope and a grief grounded in hopelessness. It is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford, a prominent lawyer, a Presbyterian elder, he had four daughters and a wife named Anna. They were all set to go to Europe on vacation. It just so happened these are from Chicago, this group of family, the Spafford family from Chicago. It just so happened that he had to send them ahead because he was detained on business. So he sent his wife Anna and their four daughters together on this ship. In 1873, it was struck and it sunk. They found Anna. She was on debris, unconscious. They saved her. But the four daughters, a pastor whose name was Weiss recalled Anna saying later, God gave me four daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why. Well, did you see what God did in his heart? He wrote that song. And has that song not comforted you from 1870s? It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. I don't have time. You see, he didn't allow that to stop him from doing something good and godly and blessing future generations. When you grieve, you do grieve, but don't grieve in such a way that it robs God of what he wants to do in your life in touching people that are broken just like you in a way that lifts them up and points them to Jesus. There's a constructive way and a destructive way. Well, I've said probably enough. I want to close with this. Several years ago, my dad only heard me preach, as far as I know, unless he had some covert listening. I remember maybe one time. It was here at this church. He was sitting about where Stephen is. You remember, some of you? Now, Dad was Church of Christ through and through. I preached that day on don't die before you die. And about the only thing I can ever remember about my dad complimenting me about anything to do with religion was when he got over to the parsonage next door. He said, that was good. I never thought of that. Don't die before you die. And I preached about Jacob. You remember his boys? I could name them, but I don't want to embarrass you. But anyway, you remember especially little Benjamin and little Joseph and the little coat of many colors. And you remember how Joseph was sold into slavery? And it wasn't long before Joseph kept Benjamin in Egypt. And Jacob said some 20 years before he died, "Oh, Lord, like Red Fox on Sanford and Son, I'm a goner. Take away my life." Kind of like Jeremiah did. "I'm coming to see you, Elizabeth." You remember that? In grief, if it's good, leads to healing, not away from God, and doesn't lead us to die before we die. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. During this invitation, someone here that needs to receive you as Lord and Savior, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit who comforts us through times that we don't think we're going to be able to get out of bed, where we're so overwhelmed with loss, that they would know you, the one true God, in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.